Okay, here we go. This is week number 16 of 1,560. What are we going to talk about this week? Well, I am certainly not going to disappoint those people who don't think very much of me. I am going to give them enough to hate me and bury me with. I keep on getting asked why parents are responsible for children after the age of X. I keep getting a lot of flack about why children aren't responsible for themselves after the age of X. I'm saying X because every country has a different age limit where they say that children are responsible for their own things now. Some as low as the age of 2. Whatever. Anyway, X is whatever that magic age is where children are supposed to be able to be adults mentally and not do things wrong. I have never said that children are not responsible for themselves after this magical age of X, but I have said that if parents brought children onto this earth, then they have brought something onto this earth that should matter to all of us if it wants to kill us or do criminal things more than the X years, because they were put here by 2 people and they're still here even if it's 45 years later or 60 years later. They're still here. Those 2 people put them here and they're here. Here's another way to look at it. There are so many children in this world who grow up to be outstanding adults. There are so many of those outstanding adults who grew up to invent things that make our lives better, create medicines that make our lives better, educate major parts of our society to make our lives better. Actually, I would say that most people, and I think you would agree with this, are good for the world. Do great things for the world. Do great things for themselves and their families. But no matter how we look at it, most are certainly not a problem for this world. Whether they grow up to be great or medium or just stay home and keep to themselves, the point is they're not hurting anyone. Not most people. So who do we have that we can pat on the back for that? The ones who grew up to be amazing adults. Do we pat them on the back? Sure, I mean, they're good people. Can we pat the parents on the back? I would say, and you might agree, that we can pat both the children and the parents on the back, but a lot of times, I'm going to admit, it does turn out that even when children are not raised right, they still raise themselves right. Let's face it, there are some children who have grown up with everything given to them, all the presents they wanted, the education they were told they needed, and not one night cold without the right amount of blankets. And they've turned out great. And I'm not faulting that. Don't take this out of context. But there have also been children who were brought up moving from house to house because their parents dumped them, or they were treated terribly by abusive parents, or brought up by just one parent because the other one left. And they've turned out amazing anyway. So most children are trying, should I say it like this, trying to be good, trying to fit into society, trying to get other people to respect them, and they are trying to give it back. There's just no way to say what makes a good or bad child. I'm going to go on record and say that. I have no problem saying that or agreeing with whoever wants to say it. A child can come out good or bad regardless of how they are raised. But, so many buts. I want you to be honest and give me your thoughts on this example. Let's take 100 children. We know there are over 350,000 children born each day somewhere around the world. Okay, let's just take 100. Let's take the next 100 starting now. Let's agree that we watch those 100 get raised for their first few years, then the 6-year mark, and then 10 years, and up through their 15th year. And on their 16th birthday at their party, we will see how they're doing. We, together and honestly, will take a look at them and see how they turned out up to that point. We can see if they are really good or they turned out really bad. And it might be somewhere in the middle. But let's at least look and see if they murdered anyone by that point. Come on, don't you agree that if they were raised in loving homes with good educations and given some of the better things or opportunities in life, that they might have had a better chance, a slightly better chance, being raised in a home of love, of turning out to be better than those children who might have been abandoned, spit on, beat, treated poorly, given nothing, or abused? I admit that I cannot pick which ones turned out good or bad sitting here today and looking 16 years in advance, but if we took the next 100 children and 50 of them were raised like crap and 50 were raised really cool, wouldn't you just admit this to yourself and just don't even say it out loud, that the ones that were raised cool might stand a chance of being good children or better children. Forget the word good. Let's just say better. Or let's just say not bad. What does better mean? For our sake, at least for these first 16 weeks of podcasts, and as an example, in our book that is the most important example, the one we said this is what we're going to concentrate on, we are saying better is a person who doesn't kill someone else. If we just agreed that would make a better world, and starting tomorrow, no one killed anyone else, wouldn't you settle for that being better? If we both understand this, and of course I understand it because I'm the one who's saying it, then we want to say that raising children right makes good children, at least children who won't kill someone else. That being said and agreed to, then what is wrong with holding parents accountable for raising their children right? Be honest. Come on, please. Just be honest. Say it to yourself. Most parents raise their children like, I want to use the SH word here, but I don't know where these are going to land up in the future, so I'm just going to say the sentence, most parents raise their children terribly. You know and I know, let's be honest, that most parents do a crap job raising their children. I am not going to go into example after example here, but I am going to get to some place in this podcast where you are going to say, I agree, or I've had enough of your crap. I don't want to hear from you again. And I'm going to just ask a question. That question will come at the end of this podcast. That question may upset you about me. I look at the news every day and I wonder if that child who just committed that murder was raised in a loving home. It doesn't matter how old that child is. That child could be 56. It's still a child. It was a child of someone. Two parents brought that child into this world. So it was someone's child. So I look at the news and I wonder every single time, how was that person raised? I tend to think that they weren't raised well, but slap me in the face or punch me in the stomach because you can say, how does he know what the hell he's talking about? I just admitted a few moments ago that I cannot tell how 50 out of 100 children are going to turn out 16 years from now in that little game we played. But I am hoping that you have been honest and admitted that a child that is brought up in a loving home may stand a better chance of being a good child. If you look at what is necessary to give everything to a child that they need to stand a chance in life, to be brought upright, to get ahead in this world on their own, to be happy, when there are so many problems on the left side or the right side of their brain, as they have to start to make political choices, or just as they look up and down the street to cross it. It's a tough job being a child. It's a tough job raising a child. It's not a science. And every child is different, so that makes it even harder. A child is a human, and as a human, we are crazy. Even you're going to admit that. Humans are crazy. So, trying to raise one? Tough. Regardless of how sane humans make it appear they are in this world, even you have to admit you have done some pretty crazy things in your life and pressed boundaries once or twice when maybe they didn't have to be pressed. Yes, being a parent is tough. So now we get back to the question of why are parents responsible for children forever? The answer is very simple. We have said this before, but today we are concentrating on it and pointing it out so there is no mistake. This is just fact. The child wouldn't be here if two parents, a man and a woman, hadn't created it. Do you want me to repeat that? I don't think I have to. You know what I said. If two parents hadn't created the child wouldn't be here. If the child wasn't here, then the child couldn't do anything wrong. I've said that over and over again. That is not why you're going to not like me today. Let's give you some ammunition to really not like me. I'll point to a couple of news stories from this past week. Let's take a look at the first story just because it has some different angles. This took place in Brooklyn. A 38-year-old woman named Letitia Bell ran up behind Nicole Thomas, who was 52. If I said is, I meant to say was 52, and shot Nicole in the back of her head, right in the middle of the afternoon. They had previously been lovers, but for some reason they had broken up, and I guess Letitia was upset about that. I'm not making light of it, but if anything, without being against gay love, I am noticing that Thomas is a mother of two. She just got killed by her female lover. I'm not saying, don't say I did, because I'm not. You will be a liar. I am not saying there's anything wrong with that, and I am not pointing it out for any other reason than to ask why Thomas had children if she didn't want a male to be her husband and her lover at all times. Why didn't she choose a man and be happy with a man forever? I realize that maybe she had children before she didn't realize that she wasn't a standard heterosexual. But the point is that the next relationship that she had was with someone she didn't really see eye to eye with because that girl just popped her in the head with a bullet and now she's dead. My point is definitely that. She made a bad judgment. I'm not saying she made a bad judgment about having a female lover. I'm saying she made a bad judgment about who she picked. I don't care about the sex. I don't necessarily know if she was raising her two children the best that they could have been raised, but I'm thinking that being a little confused about her own sexuality and her life, that possibly being a problem to her, and everything else, and then she's got to take care of two children? Well, we're not going to get hung up on that because that is not the problem. Where I'm going with this is asking where Letitia Bell's parents are and how Letitia Bell was raised. Nicole Thomas got killed by Letitia Bell. The murderer here is Letitia Bell. I am blaming the parents of Letitia Bell for not instilling in her the rights to want to not kill someone when they raised her, or when they didn't raise her correctly. I am saying that these parents of Letitia Bell should be punished for murder along with Letitia. We will leave this news item and go on to the next. I'm just pointing out that someone killed someone, and I wonder why, and I wonder how they were raised, and I'm wondering how the children of Nicole Thomas, her husband, her family, her fellow workers, her friends, all of these people, I'm wondering how they're going to feel because Nicole is dead. Maybe she was really cool and a nice person, and she shouldn't have died. She didn't deserve this. And all I'm asking is, what about Letitia Bell's parents? Why didn't they raise Letitia Bell better? Or why did they put Letitia Bell on this earth? Because look what happened. And you're going to say to me, oh, but they, I know those parents. They did raise her better. She just turned out a murderer. Well, no. Then the parents didn't raise her better. Because if you bring a child into this world, you do not get to stop at age 18 or 16 or 12 or 2, like in one country says. I don't remember which one it is right now. Or 58 or 112. You bring a person onto this earth, and that person's living and breathing and has the possibility of killing someone. It is your responsibility to make sure that doesn't happen. Moving on, the next point today is completely different. A different news story, a whole different story. We have a woman named, and I'm not going to pronounce this right, but Denizia Kilpatrick? Yeah, whatever. Who is 23 years old. Also living in New York. But that doesn't mean that New York is the only place who killed people last week. It just happened to be that part of the newspaper that I was looking at. Well, Ms. Kilpatrick faces murder charges after stabbing her 2 6-week-old children. Actually, she stabbed one to kill it. And one was a boy and one was a girl. Yes, they were 6 weeks old. You heard me right. And she boiled the other one in scalding water to kill it. Wow. I want to be the one to pull the switch on the electricity that goes through Denizia Kilpatrick's body. I won't be able to, but, and I probably shouldn't talk like that and then do podcasts that are supposed to be somewhat down the middle of the road. But anyway, why did she say she killed them? Going back to this, she said, I don't want them. Yep. If you don't want them, I guess the girl thought she was only 23. It was okay to kill them. I wonder where she got that idea. If she was raised right through her 17th, 18th, 19th year by her parents who taught her love and that life was important and they treated her kindly and she was well adjusted. Where did she learn in those few years after they got done raising her, not that they ever should have been done, that life wasn't important? Where did she learn that if you bring 2 children into this world, it's okay to stab one and boil one? Why don't the parents catch some of this blame? Why, they taught her love and sharing and happiness for, what, 19 years? And then in a few years, she forgot all of that and said, I think I'll stab one of my kids and boil one because I don't want them anymore. Let's wrap this up. Let me tell you where I'm going with all of this. And damn you, don't even think I am against the BLM movement as I go through this. Don't even think that. F you. This is major news. This has nothing to do with the BLM movement from my point of view. I'm just going to ask a question, and it's not about a parent of anyone who killed someone, but I'm going to just ask this question. Then you can decide if you're on board with me or you hate me. Or don't tell me anything, just don't listen anymore, I guess, and go around and tell people I'm an asshole. I'm not supposed to say asshole, am I? You know the story already, so I'm not going to detail it here. This is a tragic story. It's a sad story. It's a story that is said to be, by some, a part of the BLM movement. Whether it is or it isn't is not up for discussion here. I'm only going to ask the question in another minute or so, and then we'll go from there in the future, either together or not, but I'm going to ask a question that is not about the BLM movement. I'm going to ask a separate question. There was a young 16-year-old girl named Micaiah Bryant, and I do hope that I am pronouncing that correctly. I mean, no disrespect. It could be Micaiah. She's seen on a police camera from the police officer's chest who shot her that she was running with a knife open in her hand and she was going to stab someone. This is clearly seen on the police officer's camera. Like I said, and like you already know probably, the police killed her. The officer who shot her is white. That's a description of the color of his skin, and the poor dead Miss Bryant has the skin color of black, as described in our everyday conversation about skin tones. I'm not going to throw too much personal talk in here, but I'm thinking if I was the person who this girl was coming at with a knife, and you could clearly see, or I could clearly see, that she was going to stab me and very possibly kill me. Her arm was already back with the knife. I gotta be honest with you, I would be so thankful. So very thankful. I would feel so blessed that a police officer saved my life by shooting Ms. Bryant. But that isn't what I want to talk about either. Miss Bryant has been living in various foster homes. It was said she was living in the foster system. Her biological mother, it is reported, and I'm only going on what was reported, she is said to have already visited an attorney. And this young girl was just killed a few days ago, and the mother is getting ready to sue various parties, or maybe just a single party, I don't know. Because the word is that she has upset the system, failed her daughter, and this police officer had to shoot her to save someone's life because of the system. Like I said, this is not a story about someone who killed someone and then we are going to blame the parents, but I am going to ask this question about Miss Bryant's biological mother, and that is the one who created Micaiah Bryant. And didn't keep raising her, though, obviously, because she's in the system. Why isn't it the biological mother's fault that Miss Bryant was in the system in the first place? Okay, that's the question I was getting to. The same question in a different way. Why isn't it the biological mother's fault that Miss Bryant had to be shot to stop her from stabbing and possibly killing someone? Wait, did I use up my one question already? Well, scratch those. Let me ask it this way. Why did Miss Bryant's biological mother create a child that she did not keep raising so that little Micaiah Bryant had to be killed by a police officer's bullet? Did I ask enough questions to pretend I only asked one? Oh my God. I certainly better not ask the question of why the biological mother even thinks she has any right whatsoever, 1 billion trillionth of a right, to sue anybody because she didn't raise her daughter right. I certainly better not ask that question, or I will absolutely be hated and hunted. I better stop while I'm ahead. That's the end of this week. I just want to point out, though, that blame and punish is not about blaming and punishing. Listen, please, it is about raising children right. That's all this is supposed to be about. I will see you next week to talk at you, or maybe I won't. But I hope I can change the world for the better if enough of us can understand that no one should be having children if they are not going to raise them right. Thank you for listening. Bye.